Thank you, ma'am. Good to be here this morning, folks. Amen. We get to study the Bible. If the Bible is boring, it's because you're looking at it through the lens of a natural man. And the Bible is not boring. It's the Word of God. Therefore, being the Word of God, it should fire up your soul and excite you. Turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 11, and verse number 38. My Father, Lord, I ask Thee now for the gift of teaching. And I ask Heavenly Father to move the hearts of the people, Lord, open their heart, their mind, their soul, their spirit, to receive Your truth. We know, Lord, there is in this world two distinct sources of knowledge. And we appeal to the Holy Ghost, who said He would guide us into all truth, and not to the other source, which is Lucifer. I pray that You give me that discernment that I need as we deal with this stuff, as we try to teach it, bring it out to the people. And I pray for Your protection today, for I know I have entered into the lion's den. I know I have. I've sensed it. And I pray, Heavenly Father, the blood atonement. I plead the blood covenant. I pray for the protection from Thee today as we open the Scriptures. In Thy name we pray. Amen. All right. Now, here in Daniel chapter number 11 and verse number 38, the Scripture says, "But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold, silver, and precious stones, and pleasant things." Now, what you hear here in verse number 38 is an unusual statement. The God of forces. Did you hear that? The God of forces. Now, there is, in the occult world, a statement that they use over and over and over and over again, and it is called the universal life force. If you type that into the computer and do a Google search on it, you'll be amazed at what you pull up when you begin to study the universal life force. You'll get everything from witches to Satanists to Hindus and everything in between. And say, why? Because that is what they attribute. The living principle that is in every creature, they attribute it to that, a universal life force. Now, this is so very necessary to understand this. You've got to think the way they think. When they say God, they're not talking about a personal being, a male, masculine, personal creator that we understand the Bible to present to us. They're talking about a kind of an ethereal spirit substance that's out there that is the source of all things as we know them today. And that's what Plato was talking about, and this is what we've mentioned to you so many times before, the one or the noose or whatever you want to call it. Noose is N-O-U-S. It's not like a noose of a rope. Noose is the Greek word for mind. It's a universal mind. It's the source and beginning of all things. Now, when you understand that, begin to see it in the sense that they present it to us, you'll understand what's going on here. Now, let me read something for you, and I'm going to lay a foundation that I hope that we can move on from. Now, you remember I told you how that in the first century after Christ, that a big controversy arose as to the title of Mary, the mother of Jesus, all right? Now, how many of you have ever heard a Roman Catholic call her the mother of God? All right, if you've ever listened to set through a mass, which I have set through many of them, I'm not interested in what somebody has to say or what they say. I want to hear what they say in their mass. I don't need it spun for me. I don't need it regurgitated and spoon-fed to me. I know what they're saying, and I hear what they're saying, and I hear far more about Mary than I do about Christ. Now, that's a fact, but anyway, it is constant. Mother of God, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now in the hour of our death. Holy Mary, Mother of God. All right. In the first century after Christ, a big issue arose as to the identity of Mary. Is she the Mother of God? Obviously, she's the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? No question about that. Catholics and Protestants and all of us agree on that. She's virgin. We all agree on that. We agree that the Lord Jesus Christ is the virgin-born Son of God. No argument there. The Lord Jesus Christ was begotten of the Father, not by a human man. We all agree on that. So there we have points in agreement. But here's where we depart. We depart in the idea that Mary is the mother of God instead of the mother of the God-man. She is the mother of the God-man, yes. But remember this. The God-man did not come down from heaven. The second person of the Trinity came down from heaven, the Son of God. And the God-man ascended back to heaven by his own righteousness. Because God became incarnate in flesh on this earth, not in heaven, here. And then ascended back to the right hand of the Father. Now, Nestorius, N-E-S-T-O-R-I-U-S, Nestorius, one of the early, you might want to call him a church father, whatever, Nestorius fell out with the Catholics on the idea that Mary's the mother of God. Said, no, Mary is the mother of the God-man, or the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, but she is not the mother of God. Now, here's why it's important. The Greek word is theotokos, and theotokos means mother of God. Here's why it's important. The mother predates the son. If she's the mother of God, then God came forth from one who was before him. Remember now, when we're talking about God, we're talking about, got to be awful careful in your definition of God. The idea that Mary is the mother of God goes right straight back to Isis. It goes back to the Queen of Heaven. It goes back to all of the mystery religions. It goes straight back to them because one of the titles of the Queen of Heaven was Mother of God. Now, why is that important? I'll let she calls herself a channeler. I'll let her define it for you, her own words. Whatever your beliefs and choice of traditions, whether she appears to you as Ishtar or Mari, Gaia, or Kuan Yin, as the great Mother Mary or Magdalene, or as one of the pantheon of goddesses from ancient Egypt or Greece or Rome, to Africa or the Middle East, to the cults of the Black Madonna, or whether she's spun from one of the archetypes of the indigenous tribes, such as Spider Woman, watch this, watch the wording. The divine feminine is still the primordial she. In other words, the original. She is the primordial she who creates from a central source. Now let me interpret that for you. Most of you got that right off the bat. What's that mean? That means that from the nous, the mind, Plato's one, that Sophia, Ishtar, whatever you want to call her, comes forth and she gives birth, or she allows the emanation of all that we understand to be Godhood or Godhead or everything that has relate to that. It comes forth, now watch this, this is important, through the woman, through the feminine principle. And just in a few minutes, as I go through this lesson this morning, I'm going to make a connection with something, and you should be able to get a hold of where you are in 2016. You'll begin to really understand it and see it in the perspective of what's really going on. The divine principle, the sacred goddess, the goddess. So is that important, preacher? It's very important. It's very important. Now let me lay a few the foundation here for you with a few statements. First of all, God is an impersonal force, a universal life force, as far as the occult world is concerned. Evolution, the product of natural selection, which was taught by Darwin, but he was not original with any of it. It was around long before his grandfather laid the foundation for what Darwin taught. But anyway, evolution, the product of natural selection, appeals to a universal life force. What's doing the selecting? Amen. Amen. There are those in evolution who are absolute and complete total atheists, but they are in the minority. An atheist does not believe in spirit or anything of any kind of an existence outside of the physical creation that he's part of. He is a natural man to the bone. That's what an atheist is. But folks, there are very few true atheists. Very few. Most of them are agnostics. And an agnostic is one who says, I don't know. So the idea that this creation came about by a process of indiscriminate chance and whatever you want to call it, is rejected by the thinking scientist. They say there is some kind of a power, a force at work, something, we can't define it, but whatever it is not a personal creator God that you find in the Bible. Now, how many following me here? If you believe the Bible, you believe in a personal creator. That's Jehovah, the Old Testament. That's a person, not a force, not some kind of an ethereal spirit, nothing out here. It is a real person. And the God of the Old Testament is a real person. And his name is Jehovah. Now, they believe that something had to be in working to design what's going on. Where do you get the term? Now, did Darwin use the term natural selection? Yes, he did. What does it mean to select? It takes something to select, takes something to design. All right, this is the universal life force at work in evolution. They have to admit to something, or they look so stupid, they sound like such an idiot, they sound so idiotic. They've hung their brain somewhere out to dry because they don't think. But the fact of the matter is, folks, they do think. And because of political correctness and because of the culture that we live in and because of the pressures brought upon people to keep their jobs, they remain silent. They remain silent. They're reticent. They don't say anything about what's going on in their mind. They go with the flow, keep their jobs. Now, let's watch the progression of this thing. Now, this puts evolution in the area of the occult religion, not empirical science. Since the believers in Darwinism are religious by nature, they are highly offended if one challenges their religion. Notice how they handle you if you say anything about evolution. You are immediately branded they try to use the best terminology they can without being too offensive. You're branded as a traditionalist or a religionist, or, you know, you're trying to bring religion into the area of science, like evolution is science. Evolution is voodoo science. But it's important to understand where I'm going with this. Since the religion is an ancient occult religion, they knowingly or not subscribe to the tenets of that religion. Here are the two. These are the two main tenets. Mother Nature, how many's ever heard that term? And pantheism, how many's ever heard that term? All right. Mother Nature is a direct reference to the mother feminine spirit that brings into existence what we understand, that we observe in the physical world. Pantheism is a big theological word that simply means this. And here's an easy way to understand it. How many of you have ever watched a camera do this? It's panning. Okay, that camera is panning, all right? Pantheism means that everywhere you move your hand or your arm or you look, there is that, now I'm not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jehovah, there is that universal life force. In other words, it's in everything. All right, now let's digest this for a moment, because the next move we take, you're going to start seeing things come together. The universal life force, there's no question. When a doctor looks at you and opens the eye and the pupils are fixed and dilated and there's no movement, no breath, no nothing, and he says, this individual is dead. All right? So he says, you're dead. Ask the doctor sometime, what happened to the living? What was in there before they died? He may look back at you and say their soul and spirit was, and it's gone on to be with God. Well, good for you. God bless you. Got some sense. But one says to you, well, I have no idea what's in there. But some kind of a life force was in there. That's what most of them believe. A universal life force. It's obvious, folks, that every one of you got something inside you. You'd be a dead body sitting there. There's something going on inside you. You're hearing me. You're processing the words that I'm saying. And you're interacting. You're either receiving it or rejecting it. So, that universal life force is what they turn to. Pantheism, therefore, says... Now, listen carefully. This is a big deal. Pantheism says that this life force is in everything. This... All creation, the birds, the animals, the rocks, everything is just a different manifestation of that. How many's ever heard that before? That's pantheism. That's pure pantheism. Polytheism, on the other hand. How many's ever heard of Pollyanna? Easy way to remember it. Polytheism is Pollyanna. You ever met anybody Pollyannas? Huh? You ever met a Pollyanna? That's a lot of different personalities tied up in one person. Polytheism means many, many gods. Polytheistic. As this brother was with us the other day, he came from India. I know of no other place on the face of the earth that has as many gods. How many gods he said he had over there? 200 million? 300 million gods. That's a bunch of gods. I'll tell you one thing. If you ever meet a Hindu that knows all the names of the gods, you got yourself one smart boy there. 300 million? That's an awful lot of gods. But you see, that's polytheism. That's many, many gods. I am a monotheist. What's that? One God. But I'm also a Trinitarian. That one God manifests himself as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Each one having a distinct identity and personality and personhood as we understand it. So, pantheism believes God is in everything. Now let's say you're a pantheist. I'm a pantheist. You say, I'm a pantheist. That means that when you see something that's evil, you have to say, well, the universal life force is in that. If I see something that's good, I have to say the universal life force is in that. How many agree with that? So therefore, good and evil both make up that universal life force, right? This is where you get yin and yang. Remember yin and yang? Yin, the feminine principle. Yang, the masculine principle. Brought together to make one cohesive unit, one unit, that represents the universal life force. Now, it's in a lot of other different ways, but this is everybody's seen yin-yang. By the way, keep your eyes open. You'd be amazed at the variations that you're getting today of yin and yang everywhere, all over the place, on soft drink bottles and bank and everywhere you're starting to get it. And symbols are very important to these people. Now, listen. The universal life force, therefore, says that whether it be a dog or whether it be a man or whether it be this or whether it be that, we have to deal with both parts because we have to acknowledge that there is evil and good. Okay? Now follow the logic and you begin to understand what makes these people think. Now, if you're a Bible believer, you know that God is not evil. There is no evil about him. That he is holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And also, this is very important for a Christian. Christians know this. You know this intuitively. And that is that God is not part of his creation. That God is absolutely and completely separate from his creation. And that God predates his creation. That he depends for nothing from his creation, that he exists on his own alone. Before anything was, there was God. Always has been, always will be. So God is not, I am not a pantheist. God is not part of his creation. Now watch the progression in the thinking of these people. Their religion is directly connected with the mystery religions of ancient Greece and beyond. The Hindu religion, with its millions of gods, the Hindu Trinity, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. This is the Hindu Trinity, but there's another one in there. Kali. Remember when I mentioned that name the other night, and this brother stood over here? Oh yeah, he said you're talking about Kali. or however you pronounce it. Callie, I'm an Englishman. I speak English. You know, I can mess up the Hindi. I don't know the Sanskrit or whatever language they're speaking over there and the dialects of it. But anyway, how many's ever seen a picture of this hideous god, goddess, by the way, not god, but goddess, with her tongue protruding out? She's got her foot on Shiva, which is her husband. She has a belt on with a bunch of arms hanging from it. She's got skulls hanging around her neck. She's got a sword in her right hand with blood dripping from it. And she's in battle. And this goddess demands blood. Now, how many of you are aware of some of the ancient history of India have ever heard of a thuggy? We call them thugs in the English language. Thug. How many's ever heard the word thug? It's part of our language. It came through Great Britain, because Great Britain was the India was part of the British Empire, and the Brits had their troops in India, and that's where they got the term, and it came into the British language and into America. Thug. What is a thug? A thug is somebody who worships Kali. They worship this female, this goddess. And the way they worship her is by killing. They don't kill. They try their best not to kill and shed blood. They're very good at strangling. They're very good at it. They strangle the individual, and then they shed the blood. And the blood is for Kali. And so therefore they have dedicated their lives to serving Kali. And the whole idea about this feminine, this goddess, this hideous goddess of Hinduism is that she demands blood. Now, how many of you remember that projected on the Empire State Building in New York City not too long ago was a huge image of Kali. Amen. And this tongue hanging out. All right? And I tried to find out the source of it, and apparently it was the city of New York, the government that did this. Caesar, remember Caesar. Always keep your eye on Caesar. Watch Caesar. And so the government of New York had projected this image of Kali on the side of the Empire State Building. And somebody said, well, isn't that wonderful? Here we are and this and that and blah, blah, and so forth and so on. But keep this in mind. That image of Kali demands a question. Whose blood are they going to be requiring to be shed for Kali? Amen. Somebody has raised up the image of Kali. Somebody put the image of Shiva in front of the Large Hadron Collider over there in CERN, Switzerland. Here's this huge image of Shiva dancing in the circle of the cosmos, who destroys and then brings back to life again. One of the Trinity of the Hindu. Why is it that the highest echelons of science is showing these Hindu gods and goddesses? There's got to be a connection, and there is. I'll show you the connection. There is a connection. There is no question that there is a connection. And if you're a Christian in here today, your connection, you're disconnected. And you got that Bible in your hands, and that, dear friend, you should hold dear to your soul, because that is what saves you from this generation that's spiraling downward into hell like you wouldn't believe. Amen. It's that book. Amen. It's that Bible. That's the only thing that'll keep you right and keep you out of that mess. Amen. All right? So now you've got this public manifestation, and the people just stand there and they look at it and they take it in, and they don't get upset with it. And the reason they don't get upset with it is because most of the people standing there looking up at that image of Kali have come out of the public school system, where they have been brainwashed and indoctrinated into the faith of the universal life force that was fed them through evolution. Amen. They have received the spirit of this age. And the spirit of this age is connected with any manifestation that it makes. It's all the same spirit. Like this witch that I just read to you a moment ago. Whether you call her this or you call her that or you call her this or you call her that, she's the same wherever you go. She is the mother of God. She's the universal life force. Satan is very good at accommodating whatever culture, whatever age, whatever clime you happen to be in. Make a difference to him. He's very good at accommodating it. What I simply mean by that is he'll make you feel comfortable wherever you live in accepting his religion. Now, let's take another step. Now, I hope you follow me so far, because I know that we're walking down into the deep. And I want you to, here's what I expect. Don't accept everything I've said this morning. Take it home, chew on it. Take it home and meditate on it. I've spent countless hours this week digging and researching into this, and the week before that, and the week before that, and the week before that, and the week before that. And I could tell, I could begin to sense it when I was descending into a spirit world, and I cried out to God. And I said, Lord, I need the blood. I need your protection. You've called me to teach. You've called me to preach. This is my responsibility. I'm not doing this for novelty. I'm not doing this for curiosity. I'm doing this because I've got to get the truth of the Word of God out. I'm responsible to the people. Lord, protect me. Keep me safe as I venture into this, because Satan is not happy with what I'm doing. He's not a bit happy with what's happening here. So, the ancient religion of Babylon, they all have one thing in common: the sacred feminine. The sacred feminine. The sacred feminine. Ishtar, the Babylonians. Tyre, the Buddhism. Fatima, Muhammad. Sophia, the Gnostics. Shekinah, to the Kabbalist Jew. Mary, to the Catholic. And Shakti, to the Hindu. These all have one thing in common: the sacred feminine. And the sacred feminine is going to take you back to the source of light, because the light that resides in that place that Plato talked about, you need a path to get back to that light. Listen, this is important. She is the one to take you to that light. Now, I'm going to give you a guess. Tell me this morning, who do you think that light is? You remember what this subject's all about? Lucifer. He's the light bearer. Think about it for a moment. To the occult world, mystery religions, religion of Darwinism, God is an impersonal force. God is in all creation. That's pantheism. Their God is good and evil. Their God is dark and light. Their God is creation and destruction. Listen to Albert Pike. Listen to him now. It can't be any plainer than this. Listen carefully. To Albert Pike, these are his very words. Albert Pike was a brilliant man. No question. He took all of the religions of the world and created his own religion. And he wrote the morals and dogma of the Masonic Lodge. Brilliant man, no question. A general in the Confederate Army. And he stood head and shoulders above most of the people around him, and still stands in Washington, D.C., a Confederate general. They don't have Robert E. Lee standing up there. Thomas Jonathan Jackson's not up there. But Albert Pike is up there. Why didn't somebody come by and, hey, slaver? Hey, bigot? Hey, racist? How come nobody's up there marching around in front of that? Huh? That ought to make you go home and do some real serious thinking. Well, of course it is. There's a reason for it. Absolutely. There's a reason for it. You know, I've said to you so many times before, I don't want to get here and chase rabbits, but I've said so many times before, they give you what they want you to have for public consumption. They want to control your thinking. They want to lead you around like a herd. And then they're going to feed you what they want you to hear. But as you move up a little echelon or two higher, we find out what's really going on. There's a reason for Albert Pike still standing, a Confederate general up there. How many didn't know that? Didn't know that a Confederate general was standing up there in Washington, D.C.? He is. And he's the author. And here's what he said. Lucifer is God. Now, that's what he said. Now, stop a moment. And I'm going to show you right here. He's going to prove exactly what I've been saying to you. But Anani is also God. See that? Now you get it? You getting the principle? Lucifer is the light bearer. He's the good one. Adonai is the bad one. But they're both God. That's pantheism. That's Pike. That's pantheism, folks. That's as pure and simple as it can be. That's pure pantheism. Amen. He acknowledges the goodness of Lucifer, but he also has to acknowledge that Adonai is also God. Now, when he says God and I say God, we're not talking about the same thing. You've got to come back to that again, see? You've got to come back to that again. There is one holy Lord God Almighty that spoke into existence everything that exists. And by progressive revelation, we learn about him and we learn about his will. And we'll never know either one until we stand before him and see him as he is. We can only react to the circumstances in our lives and see what's going on about us, but we'll never fully understand the working of the mind of Almighty God till he reveals it to his creation. And we'll never fully understand who he is until the Son of God himself takes us before the Father. No man knows the Father but the Son. No man knows the Son but the Father. The only way you'll ever know God is by revelation. Hallelujah to God. And he'll take you to the Father. The only one that will ever take you to the Father, folks, is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only access to the Father. And the only way you'll ever know him is through the Lord Jesus Christ. What's that mean? That means that Satan has never fully known the essence and existence and personality of that eternal Creator. He only knows what God has allowed him to know. And a lot of people give Satan a whole lot more credit than he's due. Smart, yes. Strong, yes. Don't try to deal with him on your own level. He's far above us. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Amen. I firmly believe that. Yes, firmly believe it. Firmly believe it. This is why Satan works like he does now to fight. No, you can't. You can't. Because he'll take and take and take. Now, in order to know this impersonal force, one must experience the elements of existence. In other words, pantheism, to know this impersonal force. Remember, this impersonal force is both good and bad. It encompasses everything of creation. Is there good in creation? Is there bad in creation? You've got yin, you've got yang. Together makes one. The whole point is this, that a pantheist must embrace everything and embrace it as one. Because for him, God is in everything, whether good or bad. This leads us to something big. And I hope you're following me. I might not get so excited about this, but I've put some time in this stuff. I've done some serious praying about this. And boy, when stuff starts opening up for me, I think, Lord, open it up for them. Yes, sir. Open it up for them. Both good and bad, dark and light, creation and destruction. This impersonal force is both male and female. Now listen, the feminine essence of this impersonal life force is the path back to the source. The origin of all life, the one, the mind, the nous, etc., is the awakening of the feminine principle in humanity that reveals the progress in evolution. Now digest that for just a moment. So we're going back to this principle. We're going back. We're evolving. Haven't you understand that an evolutionist believes that evolution is a progressive thing? It never stops. It's continuing. Evolution is both biological and spiritual. The spiritual part of evolution manifests itself in society and all the rest of the stuff that goes with it. Biological evolution, you see the physical product. Now, this evolution is a process. Some believe that you can affect that process, you can speed it up, or you can direct it and channel it. If you learn certain rules, know how to do certain things, that you can affect this process of evolution. This is why they talk about a paradigm shift, or they talk about a harmonic convergence, or they talk about doing something to where they bring all of mankind together to produce a desired result in this path of progressive spiritual evolution. That's what they think. Now, have you ever wondered why all of a sudden there's an explosion in sodomy? Amen. You ever wondered why that you've got all this transgenderism going on today? And most of the transgenderism that I've witnessed is going from male to female. Have you noticed that? It seems to outnumber 9 to 1. Male to female. You don't really have a problem going on in the country with a men's bathroom, do you? The problem is with the little girls in the girls' bathroom. In other words, it's the male going to the female. It's a man becoming a woman. It's the feminine principle working in humanity. The feminine principle beginning to manifest itself in human beings as they evolve spiritually and closer to the source of light. More and more, how many follow me here now? More and more of the manifestation of the feminine principle. You ever wonder, how many of you ladies, best to ask the women, how many of you ladies have ever wondered why we got so many effeminate men? You ever wondered about that? Effeminate men. You ever wondered why we got so many effeminate men? Could it be that this feminine principle, this universal life force, is beginning to pull this whole world together? Did you know that the world, folks, there's so many countries over here in the rest of this world that look at America and say, you're the sorriest, stinking, pervert nation on the face of the earth? CBS, NBC, and ABC won't tell you that. They got an agenda. But there are countries out there that say, we don't want you in our country. We don't want you to bring your perversion over here. We got people over there that reject Jesus Christ that have higher morals than this crowd does right here. We've got people in the world, folks, that have got a clearer sense of morality and are more sane in their understanding of human anatomy and biology and all the rest of it than the people going to the church houses. They're judging us. And yet America just happily goes right down this same path, the yellow road, brick road, and headed to Wizard of Oz, singing and dancing as they go. And Alice in Wonderland is down there going from one place to the next place and this place and that place, and all of them insane as they can be. Amen. This nation is as insane as they come. And people hear me talking this morning, they're going to say, well, that's a bigoted, racist, backwoods, all kinds of nice, sweet names for you. They don't want you to say anything to offend anybody, but they can talk about you like a dog. How many got that one right, too? They can call you everything and son. Say one word about them, watch hate speech. But they can talk about you like a dog. All right. How many of you see the connection between all of the feminine characteristics of man beginning to manifest itself unlike we've seen before? I thought I'd bring this up. I watched a thing on the Shroud of Turin the other day. How many know what the Shroud of Turin is? It's supposed to be the burial cloth of Christ. I'm not sure anyway, but I watched this. This is remarkable. Now, what kind of chromosomes do you have in your body? All right. What now? X and Y, right? Does the female have the same? What's the female have? What? They've got Y. Pardon? They've got X. They've got X and X. Okay. All right. So the men have XY. The female, the feminine, has XX. Is that correct? Well, they did a blood analysis on the Shroud of Turin. DNA blood analysis. DNA is quite a thing. And you know what they found? They found only the Y chromosome. The Y chromosome. I think that's what they said. But whatever it was, they said, this individual right here had a virgin birth. Because this is a man, but he doesn't have an X and a Y. He doesn't have an X and a Y. In other words, he does not have an earthly father. I thought to myself, man, that's beginning to move me off the fence. When I heard that, I thought, I'm going to have to handle this one. How am I going to deal with this? I'm not here to defend. I got to get my XYs right. I heard this thing about 3 or 4 days ago. Which one does he have? He does not have the chromosome that connects him with a man. Amen. That's what he doesn't have. He's got the chromosome that connects him with a woman, his mother, but he doesn't have one that connects him with a man. And so the narrator said, there's no way in the world this could be except by a virgin birth. Now, there's only been one that's walked the face of this earth. Just one that was virgin born. Amen. And we know who he is. Amen. Now, think about it for a minute. If we are going to get Baphomet, you remember Aleister Crowley's Baphomet? It is both male and female, androgynous, with certain parts of the anatomy showcased for purpose. Eliphaz Levi is the one who created this present graphic of Baphomet in the 1800s. Apparently, they'd all say an apostate Jew, but anyway, there you are. You've got your male and female blurring the difference in the genders, with the feminine part becoming prominent. And the feminine part is the part that leads back to the light, and the light is Lucifer. How many follow me on this? This is some strong stuff. I've always wondered, where did sodomy start? I've always wondered, back in the book of Genesis, Abraham had to deal with it with Lot. Where did all this start, this sodomy? Where did this start? And there, to me, is a good answer. Yes, it is. It goes all the way back with the sacred feminine, the mother of God, Mother Earth, Gaia, Ishtar, all the other names that you can have. We're talking about the same thing. You might as well get ready to see such a profound change in your culture, and you're already witnessing it. It's already happening. That it's going to blow your mind what's going to happen before the Antichrist shows up, because it's time for him to show up. We're there. We're right at the door. We are at the door. Yes, sir.
In the Capitol building, in the Thunder, we got 72 gods and goddesses, and they made Washington a god. But on the top of the Capitol building, the statue on top is Athena.
Athena? Okay. Greece?
So this didn't start yesterday. This started hundreds of years ago.
Oh, yeah. Good night, yes. Oh, yeah. They've all got the same spirit. They might accommodate it to their culture and promote their particular group, but it's still the same spirit. It's all the same. Have you ever noticed now how different the Bible is from all this other stuff? This ought to give you an appreciation and a love for the Word of God, because it is so different. Notice there's no connection in the revelation in Scripture and all this garbage I've been talking about. That to me tells me of the source of this book.
Amen.
It did not come from the same place that they did. Different completely. Yes, sir.
Well, it's kind of funny to notice that Virginia Mollenkopf, the stylist on the United Nations Committee,
yes,
has written a book called The Divine Feminine.
Oh, she did?
She wrote that about 1991, I think.
Okay.
She also wrote another one called Omnigender. It's called A Transgender Approach to the Bible.
Okay.
And that falls right around.
Well, what they try to do, see, they try to do this. They try to take that occult, feminine goddess, all that garbage, and they try to read it into the Bible. It's not in the Bible, but they try to read it into the Bible. They reinterpret what they're reading from the Scripture through the lens of perversion and make applications from the Bible that aren't there. That's exactly what she's doing. The divine feminine. Yes, sir.
Theology you're talking about, is that where the Masons get their idea of the all-seeing eye?
That's the third eye. That's the chakra. That's the last point. When you ride up, when you see that eye, that third eye right here in the center, you are now enlightened. You've reached the point of the 33rd degree. You're enlightened, and you can see what none of the rest can see. You're able to have the same vision that Plato had. You can look into the mind of the nous. You can look into the mind of that eternal one. You can see what none of the rest of them can see. You're an initiate now. That's what that third eye is about, right here in the middle.
Led by a Horus,
which
is a son of Isis.
Mm-hmm. And who's Isis? She's the female goddess. She's the mother of God. Yeah, she's the mother of God. Yes, ma'am. Temple of Doom. He's dealing with the thugs over there in India. Kali. Sure is. Same thing. Same thing. Is that what they do? I haven't seen the thing, but that's what it is. Yes, sir.
Is that all seeing?
You just made the connection. You got it right there, A plus. You got it. That's what it is.
The right eye of the Antichrist is taken out.
That's what it says in Daniel.
That's the left eye. And the left, if you look on your dollar bill, it's the left eye.
Yeah.
It's not the right eye, it's the left eye.
But the point is, it's the eye. Yeah. This serpent, Kundalini power, starts at the base of the spine, wraps itself around, and comes out till it comes out the top of the head. This is why you see the Egyptians, you see the Pharaoh with that, you see the Pharaoh with that cobra in its head coming out here. You've reached the point of enlightenment when you reach the third eye. That eye is in the middle. And that's when you can see. You can see through that eye what these two eyes cannot see. That's the point. And Cali, if you look at, go look at Cali this afternoon, K-A-L-I. Most of the depictions I've seen of Cali, she's got an eye right here in the middle of her head. She's got that third eye. Yes. Well, the military has capitulated under Obama the last 7 years. Look what's happened to the military. You know what they did in boot camp when I was at Parris Island, South Carolina? They would come through the squad bay. I'm not kidding you. I've been there. They'd come through the squad bay. Drill instructor would come through the squad bay at night. He'd walk by and jerk the covers off of your bed. You're laying in the rack, and you're gone sleep, and all of a sudden, boom, the covers come flying off your bed. He wants to see if there's another man in that bed with you. And if there's another man in that bed with you, you're out of the Marine Corps. No argument. You're out. You're gone, just like that. And look how it's changed. And some of those guys did that. When boot camp got so tough, they couldn't handle it, man. I mean, it can get tough. They'd crawl and rack with each other. They got to live with that for the rest of their life. They weren't homosexuals, but they knew that that'd get them out. And they caught them in the rack together, and they're gone. Yes, sir. Better run out of time here. That's another chakra. Yeah, that's a chakra. Chakra means a power point. It means a spiritual, concentrated power point that's in the body, rising up till it reaches that. That's a different study in itself, but that's a powerful thing we're talking about. Well, it's 10 minutes till. We're going to have to leave here. We'll be run right into the service. Yes, sir. Pineal. Yeah, pineal gland. It certainly does. Right. The pineal gland is connected right up here in the back of the head, and it's connected directly with it, they say. All right, we'll have a word of prayer and let you go. Brother Brian Rowland dismisses, please.